Pull up a seat and listen to our fable. We welcome all who sit at our table. Let's enjoy our caffeinated delight, for we are all monsters on the darkest of nights.
Hello and welcome to Caffeinated Monsters, your bi-weekly comedy horror podcast. I'm your host, Faith, and today we've got Clara with us again.
Hey, back again.
Hey. So yeah, we've got another What the Horror for you, where we choose one to two films each and surprise each other with our choices, because I have no idea what Clara's going to talk about and vice versa.
Yeah, but I'm really excited to actually see what you've seen last week, because I actually watched that film that we spoke about last, and you're right, films with no music in it is extremely creepy.
Oh yeah, Black Mountain, wasn't it?
Yeah, Black Mountain, and you were right. It is really, really good. It is more creepy, the fact that there's no music in it. Like, I'm really glad that you mentioned that. Like, so now I can recommend that one.
It's the fact that really I didn't notice until about over half an hour into the film, where I'm like, this would be really nice with some, like, that really nice sort of, like, music for, like, a long shot outside. And I thought, I've literally heard no music so far. This is really weird.
Yeah, it was, like, it was kind of eerie, because I was sat there, like, and, like, but when dialogue's going, like, you don't, you actually just don't notice it until that one long shot, that it was like, oh, this is actually really creepy. I was kind of, like, on the edge of my seat, and I was like, actually, this is sending chills up me a little bit.
Thing got to you, I think, because there was one particular bit that really made me go, oh my god, was the hand missing scene.
Yep, that one. Yep. Very that.
Yeah, because you don't see it at first until you actually like, look at the table. It's like, why isn't he moving it? It's like, oh my god, there's a lot of blood.
Yeah, but like I was sat, yeah, because when I was watching, it was that bit specifically. I was kind of like trying to decipher like what was going on, because I was like, hang on a minute, something's a bit like off here, like he's very still, and then I kind of look around and I was like, oh no, okay, that's happening.
He's lost the plot and his hand. Yeah. Oh yeah, and the film you were having trouble trying to think about, it was Aftermath as well, if anyone was curious about that.
Yes, it was Aftermath. Like, I realised that straight after. It was Aftermath. Do highly recommend that one, although it's, yeah, like, I should probably research the names of films before we start recording.
I'm terrible for not doing that, so it's fine.
Yeah. We've all done it at least once.
But yeah, it was funny when you said about that film, because it's got one of the Ashmore brothers in, and that used to be like an ongoing joke in the beginning of like these podcasts that me and Rhea used to talk about films with the Ashmore brothers, because I didn't realise that they were twins. I thought it was just one guy.
Yeah, like, honestly, that was quite funny that film actually did come up then, like, cause now it's actually like still part of the running joke. That I could keep that one going.
So, oh god, the Ashmore brother curse has reappeared.
Well, I'm glad I could keep it going.
Thank you. So what's your first film of choice then? Let's hear it.
Okay, so one of the films that I have seen recently is called The Night House. And it's about a woman whose husband has killed himself. So that's how the whole film just starts. Like, her husband just kills himself. And she's, of course, really distraught, really emotionally. Like, you know, she's really trying to deal with this. And she's also a school teacher. So she's, you know, trying to get back to reality. You know, they were together for, if I can recall correctly, I think like 13 years, like they were together for a very long time. No children. Starts, you know, kind of trying to get her life back together. And then she She's going through her belongings and then his belongings, you know, to try and get some, you know, nostalgia, some closure. And she starts discovering that her husband was hiding a lot from her, and she starts finding photos of like women that look like her, and going through his phone, and there's a few contacts of like these girls that look exactly like her. And it kind of goes down this rabbit hole of, do I really know my husband at all? And it starts to get extremely dark, like the stuff that like she finds about her husband. Now, with that setup, I really, really did love how they kind of delve into, like, you know, her husband was into some really, really, like, dodgy stuff. Like, I'm not going to spoil it, but it does get quite dark and quite dodgy. And I did really, really like how creative, like, because it's one of those sort of like crime stories, you know, where it's like it's kind of like little by little she starts finding out, and then it starts to make her go a little bit kind of a little bit loopy in a sense, because she's like so adamant about trying to find out who her husband really was, because by the sounds of it, actually, she had no idea, and he had this whole like separate life away from her, and all the supernatural stuff starts happening in the house. Like, so they had this house, of course, the night house, that was like, you know, it's on the bank of a river, or like, actually no, it's a lake, and you know, it's a beautiful home, and they designed the whole thing themselves. And you know, when all the lights are going off and you can see, like, you know, they're dark and everything, and then she starts seeing him, and then starts seeing all of these different girls that look exactly like her. It was really, really, like, well done. My one gripe with the film, though, which I did find after watching it, is if you do end up watching it, there is a lot of plot holes, and I was kind of left at the end of the film with questions. Like, I still had a few questions, because there were some things that happened. Like, for example, like there's this one scene in the film where the lights are flickering, the door's opening, you can hear like footsteps coming from upstairs, and then the phone starts ringing and it's her husband. But then she goes upstairs and obviously there's nothing there. But then when she kind of goes to investigate like further, like it kind of leaves a lot of doors open. Like, and then it kind of like, hang on a minute, that doesn't make any sense. Like, why would that happen? Like, yeah. So there are certain bits in that film where there was a lot of plot holes. But like, all in all, I did really enjoy it, and the way that they actually captured grief and, you know, her trying to get her life back together, like that was done very well. But in terms of the way that they tried to tie supernatural in with crime and mystery, I was still left with a few questions, and there was a few plot holes in it, which I really hate, because it really did my head in. But the ending of the film as well, I guess it was one of those that was kind of open to interpretation, but at the same time, I don't, because I kind of want a definitive answer of what the ending actually meant. But it is a fairly recent film. I think it only came out a few years ago. I want to say kind of like 2018, 2019. But yeah, like it was all right, but I really hate those films that are like, you know, you've still got questions and then there's a few like plot holes in it. It's just really annoying.
I like that with films as well, when it comes to like ambiguous endings, and you're like, I just want a straight answer, damn it.
Honestly, yeah, because like I was like, there's a few scenes where like she's being, you know, like she's in the house, she's on her own, she's refusing to kind of like leave the house, because you know, she's, even though her friends are all like, you know, this house is a constant reminder, you should really, like, you know, think about maybe selling the house and, you know, starting afresh, and, you know, but she doesn't want to leave because she's like, you know, we built this house together, we designed this house together, this house is all I have left of him, type thing. And, you know, having, you know, this is the only thing I have of him. Well, you've got a lot of his stuff, babe. Like, you know, you don't need an entire freaking house. And, like, the thing is, like, when she's on her own and, you know, alarms start going off, doors start opening, and she's being pushed about and stuff, and she sees her husband, and then, like, but then she'll go out and investigate, and then her husband will be, like, texting her, like, through the phone. And then she's also got her husband's phone. And then it's kind of like, well, that doesn't make any sense. Like, do you know what I mean?
Most of those, like, a supernatural sense to it that doesn't really need to be any logical explanation in a way.
I guess so. But it's like, I don't know. It's really hard to explain without giving a lot of it away. Because, I mean, like, I hate giving away, like, loads of things that could potentially spoil it.
Especially when it's a good film.
Yeah, exactly. Like, it is, like, I don't know. That it's not that I was left wanting more. It's just that I kind of wanted a definitive answer. Like, and I kind of thought that I was being left with, like, a lot of questions. And a lot of it is, I guess, from the director's point of view, that they wanted to kind of leave it open to you. However, as an autistic person, I kind of want a definitive answer.
Like, yeah, I can see where you're coming from with that one, then.
Yeah, because, like, I mean, I get why people would leave things open to interpretation, but my brain doesn't work like that.
A lot of that when I tend to feel that way if because of my dyslexia and my attention span with things. If there's too many different subplots going on, I tend to get really lost, and it's like, for God's sake, just stick to the main thing. Have like 2 to 3 subplots and that's it. Any more than that, my brain's just there like, oh my God.
Yeah, I mean, I kind of get that, like, because I think, like, when you've got, like, one kind of, like, story going on and it's not yet kind of, like, completed until they go on to another, but then they've also got to tie in, like, about 3 different things that went on, you know, 20 minutes ago when they're still not done, and it's just really annoying because you're like, oh,
it frustrates me to no end.
Yeah, honestly.
So what would be your rating for it then? Like, how many coffees would you give it?
I'd probably give it about 3 coffees because it is a good watch. It has got a lot of supernatural elements to it. It's got that sort of, like, you know, you feel bad, like, and it's the way that they kind of capture grief is really, really well done. It is very, like, sort of like that there's a lot of emotion that goes into the film, you know, there's a lot of fear, there's a lot of sadness, but there's also a lot of, like, suspense, and it is very well done in that sense. The only thing that I say will kind of let it down a little bit was a couple of the supernatural elements and the way they're kind of, like, you know, trying to piece together things. Like, I think I was kind of left with a lot of questions. So I think in terms of, like, filling in those plot holes, like, I'd probably give it about a 3.
Okay, I can understand that.
Yeah, I think, like, if they'd actually maybe got rid of, like, a couple of supernatural things and just made it more sort of horrific instead of it kind of being like, oh no, well, this is actually a memory, it wasn't real, or oh, this was actually, you know, this is actually a ghost and it wasn't, you know, her just kind of going crazy, then it was like, okay. But I mean, if you kind of like those films that leave it up to you as opposed to, you know, like the film giving you a definitive answer, if you like that, definitely kind of up your street. But I was kind of left wanting a little bit more and a few more answers instead of being like, well, now what? Like, well, what's happening here? But yeah, I definitely give it a 3. Like, I would recommend watching it, but yeah, like, I was kind of left with a few questions.
Okay, so watch it, but don't think too much about certain things.
Yeah, don't think about it too much.
Okay. Okay, so one of my choices... Actually, where can you watch the Night House?
It's actually on Disney Plus.
Ooh, okay. Well done, Disney.
Yeah, and then it, like, watch it on Disney.
Watch a movie about a man that's killed himself and his wife that's trying to mourn.
Yeah, exactly. Look at Disney getting all cheerful. Oh,
God. Yeah. One of my contributions for this episode is called The Special, which I watched with my partner. It's on the UK Amazon Prime. It was a bit of an eye-opener, not going to lie.
Okay, eye-opening. We love that.
So it's about a guy and his best friend at a bar. The main character, Joey, thinks that his wife may have cheated on him, so his friend takes him to a brothel to get his own back. But instead of seeing a prostitute, he puts him in a room for something called The Special, which is what the film is called. And yeah, The Special is literally a box with a hole in it, and you stick your dick into it.
Right.
And as a result, you end up feeling the ultimate pleasure, essentially. Like, nothing else compares to it.
I can't say I've ever heard of a film like that. So that is, that's interesting.
But yeah, as a result, he, from feeling angry about, like, his wife possibly cheating on him, he starts to feel resentful. He pretty much becomes addicted to the box.
Ah, so it's kind of like a descent into madness, but through sexual encounters.
Yeah, exactly. But it's an interesting concept, because it is essentially just put your dick in a box and voila.
I'm still trying to get over the dick in the box, honestly.
Yeah, it was a weird thing to try and get over at first, but you kind of got over it quite quickly when you realise, oh, he's very, very quickly been affected by it, and you realise, oh yeah, it goes on about how addiction can cause issues, how addiction can affect people and ruin the lives of those around you, and yeah, things escalate really quickly, especially when you see what's in the box. And I'm not going to spoil the ending, because you find out what's in the box about halfway through, but that ending though, it's let's just say you could hear crickets start. Me and Joe were literally sitting on the sofa like, Oh God. Oh God, that's what it is.
I mean, why are they even offering this as a service? But that's like, I think, like, capturing addiction is things like that as well. I mean, it does sound kind of, I want to say metaphoric, maybe that's not the right word, but like a euphemism per se, I think, actually, of like what addiction can, like, you know, how addiction, no matter what it is, can actually destroy people. But I'm thinking, why is a brothel offering this box out if they know what it's capable of? I mean, come on, that's just bad customer service right there.
Well, someone does say they're not the first 10 minutes after he's not stuck it in there, like, don't bring him back here, because we feel that really it's not safe for him to come back here anymore. So they do warn his friend and tell him not to bring him back, but yeah, main character, being an idiot, does come back and actually steals the box.
Ah, so they know it does come with a warning. Oh wow, okay. So this is on Amazon Prime, the UK one.
Yes.
Is it a British like a British film?
No, it's American actually.
Okay,
but it doesn't really tell you what the thing is. But there is a moment where someone does pull out a book in the brothel, and it says, like, it mentions the occult. So you do think it's something like, oh, this is something that people really shouldn't be messing with.
Oh, we do love the occult and brothels all in one. I mean, it does make for a good story.
But yeah, I do recommend it. I mean, the practical effect, the special effects in it were top notch, and it was just I was really surprised by it, because it was, even though that you could tell that the film was a bit of a lower budget one, but you can tell they didn't skimp out on special effects. I mean, it was gross. It was visually quite stunning, but grotesque at the same time.
Okay, like what film would you kind of compare it to visually?
Oh God, have you seen a film called Beyond the Gate?
Yes, I have.
Ah, you're one of very few people that's actually said yes to that. Visually, it's very similar to that in terms of like color scheme and things like that, but in terms of, I'd give it more of a body horror sort of storyline to it, because of what happens to the main character and some of the other people in it. It's a bit like, my God.
Yeah, like, this is actually what it's had, like, this doesn't have a pretty ending. It's actually pretty gross.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I mean, I was like, maybe not sort of like Mandy level, like, you know, beautifully shot, but sort of on that like wavelength, like, you know, like Pretty Lights and that sort of thing. Like, okay, so it's visually stunning. I do love those films. It's kind of like, I want to say kind of like an acid trip, but like neon.
Kind of, yeah. It's when there wasn't really any like neon things going on, but it's more a case of the style of what the thing in the box is and some of the body horror designs as well. It's very God, I can't even think now. Similar to The Blob in a way.
Okay, yeah. I get you now. The very, very sort of like maybe not The Fly level, but like in that sort of area of like body horror.
Yes, definitely.
Yes, awesome. But I mean, I do like some sex and some horror. Like, for some reason, they just go together. I don't, like, don't ask why, they just do.
Oh yeah, sexy gore and horror. There's just something interesting about it. Visually stunning, but also quite mortifying at the same time.
It's morbid, but it's also kind of sexy.
But gorgeous.
Exactly. Grotesque, but gorgeous. So how many coffees would you rate it?
I don't know. Either 3.5 or 4 out of 5. It's
okay,
a tough
so
one.
Quite high. Yeah, quite high.
Because of not only the special effects, but the actual storyline itself. And yeah, it does leave a couple of like plot holes here and there, but they're very minor. And the fact that you kind of see it come full circle in a way with the storyline. And you're just a bit like, oh my God.
Yeah, like, so it is quite impactful then. Like, definitely going to add that one to the watch list. So you said it was on UK Amazon?
Yep.
Awesome, cool. I'll add that one to the list because I do love me some sexy horror. Right, so the other film that I was actually wanting to talk about, which I'd only actually discovered very recently, because I actually went down a little bit, not like a rabbit hole per se, but I went kind of down this sort of path of wanting to watch films about, like, you know, possessed toys and stuff, you know, very sort of like Child's Play, that those sorts of horror films, you know, like demons possessing toys and whatever. Mm-hmm. And I went kind of down this little rabbit hole to then find out that there was actually a film that was very loosely based on Five Nights at Freddy's. Because I saw that they'd already made a film about it. Now, if for those listening that haven't heard of Five Nights at Freddy's, Five Nights at Freddy's is actually a game, and the premise is that you are, I think you're a caretaker, or you're looking at the security cameras of this sort of like, I think it's actually a toy factory or like something like that, and you see these animatronic characters, you know, there's like bears and like, you know, all the like these toy sort of like character things. They're all animatronic and they all start coming alive and they're all very murderous, right? And it's a supernatural game. You can watch loads of videos on YouTube of people reacting to it. It's brilliant, right? So I actually found this film that's got Nicolas Cage in it, which is called Willy's Wonderland. It's so camp. I love it. The premise is that so it all starts with Nicolas Cage's character, and his car's broken down. He's hitchhiking, and this sheriff. No, it's not a chef. It's a guy that runs, he runs this car garage, and he comes and picks him up, and he's like, oh, okay, yeah, I can fix your car, but it's going to take, like, you know, a couple of days. But I can give you, if you haven't got the money, I can give you a job at this, like, you know, this restaurant place. You know, it needs tidying up before we open up properly. Now, Nicolas Cage does not speak throughout the entire film, right? He has no dialogue whatsoever. And we put him to work in this restaurant with loads of animatronic animals, and it's like this kiddie restaurant. It's called Willy's Wonderland. And he gets to work, he cleans the place up, and the animatronics start coming alive. And you kind of think, oh, he's done for, but no. Like, one of them comes alive and he literally just kills it in one fell swoop, right? And it kind of delves into also these kids that, because this girl gets arrested in another, like, scene, and you find out that these kids are actually sort of trying to, they know a lot about Willy's Wonderland, why it's closed down and why it's trying to be reopened, and there's a really, really dark history behind it, and, like, you know, of why these animatronic animals are trying to, like, you know, kill people and whatever. And there's a lot of, like, gore in it, but I'd say it's a black comedy, because it is quite funny, but it's intentionally funny. It's not funny because it's terrible. It's intentionally funny, and I just loved it. I thought it was so camp and just so kitsch. And, you know, they're trying to get Nicolas Cage to, like, you know, Nicolas Cage's character to be like, you know, we need to do something now, like, you know, say something. And it's like, he just doesn't say anything. He's just got no dialogue whatsoever. He's just completely, like, dead behind the face, just, like, blank. But, I mean, I really loved it. Like, the way, like, you know, the way that they kind of, like, go about why these animatronic animals are so, like, you know, why they want to kill people. I mean, it sounds so ridiculous, and honestly, like, it just, as you're watching it, it just gets more and more ridiculous, but it's brilliant. Like, honestly, I mean, I'd personally rate it 4 coffees. Everyone needs to go and watch this film right now. It's brilliant. Plot hole wise or anything, like, any sort of, like, gripes that I have with it, there are some parts of it that just doesn't make, like, it doesn't make any sense, but I don't think it really needs to, like, of why Nicolas Cage's character just doesn't speak at all. But he's got these bits where, like, his stopwatch, like, his watch will kind of, like, go off and, like, you know when, like, people have those, like, watches that, like, just, they've got a timer on them, and you'll hear that, and then he'll just stop whatever he's doing. I just go and play a pinball machine and down an energy drink, and then his alarm will go off again, and it'll be like, right, get back to work type thing. And it's like, why? Like, why does he have a schedule of, like, going to kill these animatronic animals and then being like, oh, break time? Like, what? But apart from that, I honestly would recommend it. It's ridiculous. It's got a really good story. It's actually really sought out. The acting in it is really good as well. And also, I do kind of want a Willy the Weasel.
It sounds so Nick Cage these days. I need to sit down and watch this film, because it's been on my list for ages. But a film where Nick Cage just doesn't say anything, like, isn't verbally insane, like in some of the films he's been in a lot in recent years. I want to see, I would love to see Nick Cage silently and aggressively taking out a bunch of animatronics in a restaurant.
It is as ridiculous as it sounds. Like, it really is, but I highly recommend it. It was just because I was thinking, like, because I heard of Five Nights at Freddy's like ages ago, and I thought that kind of concept would just be such a good movie. But because obviously there's not like an official movie, but this is basically like what Five Nights at Freddy's would be. It was just brilliant, and to see Nick Cage in a sort of role where like his actions speak for him, he doesn't even have to really speak like at all, like because he's just such a badass character in it. Like, I thought it was just so brilliant. It's also really, it's a very colourful horror film. It's very, very colourful. I wouldn't quite say that it's like a D-list film. Like, you know, it's not really got like a high budget, but I think that kind of added to it. Like, you know, it's like sometimes it does work. And I thought, you know, that there's a good story, there's good plot, this is actually believable. And the fighting as well was actually realistic. Like, you know, it was just so good, honestly.
I remember one particular scene I think I saw online. Nick Cage essentially curb stomping one of the animatronics on its head into a urinal.
Oh yes, yep. The bathroom scene with the big green gorilla. Yep. And then this gorilla is just like, because as well as that, they're talking, but they're talking like, you know, really big cuddly animatronic animals. And it's just like, let me give you a hug. And like, they're trying to kill him. It's like, what is going on? Because it's like, even though obviously you're rooting for Nick Cage's character, at the same time, you're just like, is he actually full on having a life or like, you know, like a death match, like a death match wrestling match with animatronic animals in a kid's restaurant? Like, what is going on? Like, but I highly recommend it to people, especially if you like Five Nights at Freddy's, definitely give this a go.
Yeah, I think it would definitely work with, because of that bloody audio track on Instagram and TikTok as well, because of the most recent Five Nights at Freddy's. There's a bloody audio that goes, Freddy, you're supposed to be on lockdown. And I think because mentioning that film and because of that audio being out everywhere now, I think it would work really well.
Oh, hell yeah. Like, definitely. I think, like, when the teenagers are kind of, like, you know, introduced to it, and then it goes down this sort of thing about, like, you know, because they've got a theme song and everything. I can't, like, yeah, when you're, like, watching it, I can't remember exactly what it is now, but, like, I've kind of got the tune in my head, but, like, you hear it loads in the film that by the end of it, you will just start singing along to it. Like, and it's really happy, but then it's like, oh yeah, all these animals just want to kill you. It's honestly, like, I'm surprised that song hasn't actually like taken off. Like, I'm really surprised it hasn't.
I need to find this song.
Honestly, it's just like Willy's Wonderland, like, and it's like, oh, it's just like, come down to Willy's Wonderland, like, and it's just really happy, but then everyone like in this town knows that these like animatronics are trying to, like, you know, are really murderous, and that's why no one wants to work there. And it's really like, what, like, as soon as you're kind of like, wait a minute, why is this happening, there is an answer. And like, you know, what happened in the 80s and blah blah blah, and it all kind of goes, it all stems back to this restaurant. But I did really love, actually, when they were doing like the nostalgia moments and like flashbacks to like the 80s and 90s and whatever, they visually have the camera looking like it's from that era. Like, and I mean, I absolutely love the way the retro films are shot, and like, you know, all the sort of like the cheesy 80s adverts, you know, where they've all got like the yellow and red lines through the screen and stuff. I love it. Like, it's just so camp and so kitsch. Like, I just definitely go and watch it. Like, you will have the song in your head for about 3 days, by the way, but, you know, it will disappear.
I mean, just the thought of that song playing and Nick Cage essentially doing wrestling moves to killer animatronics in a restaurant, just that sold it to me.
Yep. Just like, take my money, I am sold.
Like, imagine Nick Cage like doing a German suplex to Freddy Fazbear.
I mean, I think if they were ever going to do like an official Five Nights at Freddy's film, I think Nick Cage would be top of the list.
Just the insanity.
Because, like, as soon as you kind of think it can't get more ridiculous, trust me, it gets more ridiculous. Like, it was just brilliant. And also, like, the effects and everything were really good. Like, I mean, I don't even think it even came out in cinemas at all. Like, I mean, I don't remember, because I stumbled across it by accident. And my boyfriend then mentioned it to me as well. I don't think it actually came out in cinemas at all. I think it just went straight to, I mean, I suppose the phrase straight to video is a bit redundant now, because no one watches videos anymore. But you know what I mean? It skipped the cinemas and then just went straight to, like, platform. But, like, yeah, I highly, highly recommend it. Like, definitely 4.5 coffees from me. Like, if you like Nick Cage, ridiculousness, killer animals, like, devilish curses, definitely go watch Willy's Wonderland.
Did it come out? Because I'm wondering if it was, like, if it came out during, like, the beginning of, like, the pandemic, maybe it came out on stream services straight away because of that.
It could have done it. I mean, it was very recent. Like, it actually came out last year, if I'm not... Was it last year? I think it was last year. I think it was only 2001. 2001? That definitely wasn't last year. 2021.
Oh, God.
Yeah, 2021. So it's not free on Amazon Prime, but it's only like, I think it was $1.99 or like, yeah, like about that sort of amount. So it is cheap, but I highly recommend it. It is bloody brilliant.
Okay, I'm definitely going to have to put that on my list.
Yes, please watch it. Honestly, like, it's just Nick Cage, just the moves, like, is like the wrestling moves, that, like, and it, the fact that he's just so, like, quick on his feet, like, it's brilliant.
So you give it about 4 to 4.5 coffees then?
Yes, definitely, 100%.
Oh, God. Right, so that's really high up there.
Yep, definitely. I absolutely loved it. It's one of those films that I will watch again, like, with, like, no hesitation. If someone's like, oh, do you want to watch Willy's Wonderland? I'd be like, yes.
You'd be on the sofa straight away with a drink, like, you're going to put it on then?
Yeah, literally. I would literally just, I'm like, let me get the popcorn, let me get the crisps. Like,
so I get the cider ready and get a bloody popcorn maker out. Let's go.
Honestly, like, it is one of those films that I would happily watch it again. Like, even if I was just like, oh, I'm stuck for a film, oh, I can't decide, oh, I'll just watch Willy's Wonderland, because I just thought it was just so good, and it's just so camp, and it's very colourful, and it's just Nick Cage. I mean, what more could a girl ask for?
Not much else, really.
Okay, so what is the last film we are going to talk about?
So my last choice is Demonic, which is on Amazon Prime and was released in 2021. So Carly is estranged from her mother because, well, I'm trying to put this the right way. So Carly's a grown woman that has grown to pretty much hate her mother and has found out that a tech medical company is doing kind of like almost like a prototype like test run on comatose patients, and she finds out that her mum is one of the patients, and she decides to go and help out with it, and you find out that it's a simulation. So within the her mother's mind, you go into like this like simulation of what her mum is thinking about.
Oh.
And you start to see like, oh yeah, why Carly doesn't want anything to do with her mum. Like, it tells you in the storyline, like the synopsis straight away, that really that her mum committed this couple of like horrific crimes, went to prison and went into a coma after quite a few years. So Carly tries to say to her mum, like, I want to tell you for years, I want nothing to do with you. I hate the fact that you did all those horrible things. But her mum doesn't give her any closure. Instead, she said, you need to leave. Something wants you. You need to leave now. So later on, she Carly does leave, but feels really upset about it. And then the doctors say, right, you need to go back in. It seems that you need answers. You have a lot of questions for her. And you need like better closure. So she goes back in to the simulation, and let's just say something happens to her in the simulation and it happens to her in real life. And as she leaves the simulation, she finds out that really, what actually caused her mother to cause these deaths? Why that's something essentially is going to happen that's really horrible. And it's a really good film about like estranged family members. There's also dealing with like family issues. It's trying to show that even though you feel as though there's like a family member has done something horrible, that some people do need that closure, even though they've done something horrific, like you want an answer to it.
Oh, so it's like a medical horror with like some supernatural elements to it.
Kind of. The simulation sort of, it happens about 3 or 4 times in the film. But it's in the simulation itself, it's pretty cool, like the style of it. Because it is kind of like technically a prototype, so it is a little bit janky. But the people that are in the simulation and the location do look a bit, they look realistic, but you can tell it's almost like a CGI filter in a way to it, so it doesn't quite look natural somehow.
Oh, okay, right, I get you now. So it's kind of like how would you put it? Like, you know, like video game characters.
Kind of, yeah.
Yeah, okay, that's quite cool actually, like the way that they've done that. So it's not actually like, because I mean, a lot of films when they try and do like simulations, obviously they all look like real people, like, you know, and everything that's happening around them is like real. So it's kind of good that they've kind of gone the route of like, you know, because of course it's artificial, of course they're not going to look real, like they are going to look like characters that have been like, you know, manufactured, like, you know, so that it's kind of good that they've actually gone that route. But yeah, it's like, it's, I do kind of like those films because the way that they kind of go into, like, you know, you kind of think, you think one thing and then, you know, you've taken the side of, like, you know, the protagonist and been like, you know, screw that, you don't need that, you know, you could deal with it. But then when you actually kind of delve into the story a lot more and like, yes, death was maybe surrounding her mother, but then it's like, why was it? And it's not what you think. It's like, I do kind of like those films where there is that twist and then it kind of does make you think a little bit of like, maybe you shouldn't take things on first value.
Yeah, I mean, there was one particular scene that did make me go like, oh my god, that's really unpleasant. And yeah, it's one of the reasons why I find contortionists really like creepy, you know, like the ones that can like run when they've that done like a arch themselves backwards, like running on all fours but facing the wrong way.
Oh, you mean like Reagan running down the stairs in The Exorcist?
Someone does that in the film with like a mask on and it no.
I mean, yes, but nope.
Yes, it's really creepy and it's really cool, but nope, if that thing runs at me, I'm either gonna leg it out of the house or I'm gonna start throwing shit at it.
Yeah, like, I mean, if that were me, I'd just be like, right, this is how I go. Like, this is how it ends. Like,
being chased by contortionist with a grudge against me.
Oh, God. Like, yeah, no, I can totally get why people don't like... I mean, because it's unnatural, isn't it, when the body moves in that kind of way. I mean, like, it is cool, but, like, oh. I'm like, I'm pretty sure your wrist isn't supposed to bend that way.
Yeah, it kind of reminded me of, like, have you ever seen The Unborn?
The Unborn. What's the plot?
Someone is, I think it's either possessed or haunted by a child. And it, like, an exorcism has to happen. And you, the main character finds out that, oh yeah, she should have had a twin when she was born. But I think she absorbed it or it died in the womb.
Yes, I have seen that film. It's the one where, like, it's the child, isn't it? And it's, like, haunting, like, sister, and it's, like, yeah, and it gets a bit... Yeah, I have seen it, yeah.
The bit where the old guy is burnt the wrong way and his head turns off. No.
No, I can't deal with that.
I've only seen that film once, and that scene still haunts me because that movement was so unnatural. It just made that, you know, when your ass clenches and your toes curl, it's that kind of, no, I don't like this.
Yeah, because the body is not supposed to move in that way. It's not, like, I think a lot of people actually have that, like, because, of course, like, I think with me personally, I mean, I think a lot of people can relate to this, is things that look, like, okay, so... People that are double jointed can obviously move their, like, body and, like, you know, and bend their, like, you know, their wrists and fingers back, like, quite a fair bit because, you know, they're double jointed. But when you're, because your head is not supposed to move 360, like, yeah, your head is not. Yeah, like, your head is not supposed to do that. And I think because it's doing it, and, you know, the fact that the creature's still alive and it's doing it, and then its back bends in the opposite direction because your body's not supposed to move in that way. It really, really freaks. I mean, it freaks me out to high heaven. But because it is completely unnatural, that's why it freaks a lot of people out. And it's like, I know it's a really weird comparison, but, you know, have you ever seen Van Helsing with Hugh Jackman and Kate Beckinsale?
Oh, yes, I have.
Yeah. So, you know that scene in the ballroom where they're all vampires and their mouths, like, stretch really, really wide?
We've talked about this in a previous episode. Yeah. Because your jaw isn't meant to unhinge that far that you're like, I don't like this.
Yeah, because your jaw's not supposed to move that far down. And, like, you know, when... Oh, it's just the way that, like, when bodies move in such a way, it's really, really unnerving. Like, I do kind of live for it because it does make me unnerved, but at the same time, I hate looking at it.
It's a weird, like, morbid curiosity. It's kind of like, that's quite stunning, but at the same time, I'm not going to sleep for about 3 weeks.
Yeah, put in it, like, oh. Also, fun fact, in case anyone didn't actually know about this, that specific scene, actually, in The Exorcist, where Reagan is running down the stairs, crab walking backwards, was actually taken out of the original film and put back in because it was too scary.
I can see why.
Yeah, I mean, I totally can see why it was taken out. But yeah, it was only put back in, I think it was only put back in like, the early 2000s, because they took it out of the original, like, screenings and everything in the original copies of the film, because it was too scary. Because, I mean, obviously, no one is supposed to be able to do that. And to be honest, I don't think anyone's really attempted to actually do that for real, because... I mean, if you didn't have a broken back by doing that, you would definitely have a broken back after doing it. Like, but yeah, that was actually taken out of the film because, of course, the reason why people thought that was too scary to have in the original cut of the film was because your body is not supposed to be able to do that.
They found that the crucifix scene where Reagan turns her head all the way around was appropriate to have in the film, but they thought the crab walk down the stairs wasn't.
Yeah, I mean, logic. I mean, oh god, when she turns around all the way, like, I mean, iconic, but at the same time, no. Oh, I just can't deal with contortionists. I really can't. Like, anything to do with, like, I can, well, I say I can deal with, to a certain degree, I can deal with, like, body horror and stuff like that. I can deal with things looking a little bit creepy. So, as soon as hands start moving in directions they're not supposed to and heads start turning 180, 360, no, I'm clocking out. Like, I can't deal with it.
It's weird. Heads turning around and like hands and feet don't really bother me. But as soon as someone does like a revert, like a crab walk where they bend the spine the wrong way and then run at you like a wild animal, that's when I'm like, nope, I'm done. I'm clocking out for this one.
Yeah. No. Yeah. Because it's not human. No. And it's like, ugh. Because I mean, if something's being able to do that, it's like, that's definitely not human. What is that? No. No. Stick a fork in it, I'm done. No. Like, this is how I'm gonna go. I'm just at peace with it now.
Please, now I don't want that to be the last thing I see before I die. It's just this weird person just running at me in like the reverse way. It's just not nice. It just is something really uncomfortable about it.
Yeah, no, it's just not it, hun. It's just not the one. So how many coffees would we rate it then?
Actually, I'd give it a 3.5 because I found the ending to be a little bit lacking, but I did like the style of it when they were in the simulation. And I like the fact that they had that that a grown woman that was had the realization of my mother wasn't in control of herself when she did these things, and essentially I've abandoned her to deal with this on her own.
Okay, and where did you say you can watch it again?
Amazon Prime.
Okay, awesome. I'll add that one to my watch list. Probably going to be up all night.
Thinking about people crawling at you in the wrong in the wrong position.
Yep, very that.
But yeah, I think what let it down for me was that last bit in the ending. I'm not going to say what happens, but there's also like there's like a creature design. You can kind of tell it's a dude in an outfit, but it kind of threw me off a little bit. That could have been done a little bit better in terms of practicality in the shot, because it just kind of threw me out the scene.
Yeah, of course. Like, I mean, when what I think is like a bit of a, like, I mean, of course it's like a letdown, but like there's a lot of like, you know, there's build up, there's story, there's like, you know, finding the answer, and then there's, you know, dealing with all the horrors, and then when it gets to the ending and then it's just like it's kind of like, did you run out of budget towards the end of the film? Like, you know, why, what is with these gaps? Like, oh, it's kind of annoying when films do that.
I think it was even that. I thought, like, it wasn't the highest budget, but at the same time, like, the last, like, 3 to 5 minutes, it was just kind of like, okay, we didn't need to see that. It was nice to see the character get this kind of, like, some form of closure, but at the same time, like, didn't need it.
Yeah, like, some things are better, like, some things are better just left out, yeah.
But yeah, personally, 3.5.
Okay. Also, I'll add that one to my list of things to watch, because I'm definitely going to be up all night, because working in a nightclub, I tend to sleep all day, so...
You've got to get a message from you like, right in the middle of your shift in the next couple of days of, what the hell did you suggest that I watch? Like, this was just nightmare fuel.
Yep, more than likely. I mean, just anything to do.
Just you on shift at work with like bloodshot eyes and like a can of Monster shaking. Like, I have seen things.
Just like, I have seen things, and trust me, they're not pleasant.
I mean, morbidly beautiful, but horrifying.
honestly. Like, I do see some sites at work, but I think a contortionist or someone crab walking down the stairs, that one's not happened yet.
Give it time. Wait for someone to get drunk enough.
Now I'm just counting down the days. Oh, honestly, like, I mean, I do see some sites at work, but I think if anyone actually crab walked down the stairs and then started projectiling like Reagan, I'd just be like, right, that's it, resignation, no.
Just look at them like, oh, someone's been down in the sap at apple sours again, haven't they, and just lob the bottle at them and run.
I mean, good method, actually. I might have to take that one on board.
just like, fuck this, and lob it at them and run. I mean, you've got like a good amount of bottles working in a nightclub, I'd imagine, so you've got a good arm set.
Yeah, fly, and I mean, I wouldn't be short of them either, so I think I'll be all right.
Just imagine it, you're there like, boss, where's the backstock? I need it. Get the crate.
Just get the crate of apple sours. Just be like, be gone, Reagan. Be gone.
Just imagine them there like, name's Ryan. It's like, it's Reagan at the moment. Shut up.
Honestly, just be like, I know Halloween's not for a while, but, you know, could she not at least have come back then?
It's the wrong season.
Honestly, like, I mean, if it happened over Halloween, I'd kind of like half accept it as a joke.
But yeah, a random day in April, and it's just kind of like, nope.
now I'm just terrified.
I do feel sorry if anyone actually does this at some point as a joke in a nightclub. I'm just gonna see it as like a thing online. It's like, oh yeah, someone tried to crab walk down the stairs at a local nightclub, and I'll be like, oh no.
To be fair, if any of our listeners have any ideas of executing this and it actually does happen, I will actually be so impressed.
I want to see someone record it, though. Like, do it sober, don't do it drunk, because I don't want people have an accident.
Yes, please. Like, if anyone is going to attend this, please know what you're doing and please be sober.
Please, we do not endorse people being under the influence of anything and then doing stunts like that.
Yeah, no, please do not try that at home, especially under the influence. Oh, God, went down a bit of a tangent on that one.
That was a good one, though.
Oh, definitely. I am glad that someone does understand my uncomfortability around contortionists.
Yeah, that's just something that really makes me uncomfortable when they bend like that, and it's like, no. It's when they run at you like a dog would as well. Just the same speed and enthusiasm, and I'm like, nope, I'm done.
Yeah, it's when they're doing it, and it's like they're doing it just so like off the cuff, and it's that easy. I'm like, nope, that should not. No, it should not be that easy.
So where can our listeners find you then?
So they can find me on Instagram at the Clara Fawn, and that's Clara with a K.
Okay, and you can find us on Instagram at Caffeinated Monsters Pod. We're also on Facebook for Caffeinated Monsters Podcast. We also have a coffee page. We're on Spotify, I believe Spreaker, Anchor, and iTunes as well, if you want to have a listen to us. We're on, Sasha app, Twitter as well now, which I've officially started. I have thought about doing TikTok, but I'm still a little bit hesitant about doing that one.
Yeah, TikTok, I think I loved TikTok for about a week, and then I was like, yeah, no, I think I'm too old for this.
But you can feel yourself starting to grow grey hair, and I'm like, I feel like this is not my dynamic.
Yeah, definitely. Like,
I'll stick with Facebook and Instagram, thank you.
Yeah, easier to use and less children doing dances.
Yeah, that just sounds wrong to me, so I'm not going to do that.
Yeah, it's definitely not the app for me, I do have to say.
So this has been What the Horror. I hope you've enjoyed yourself, and hopefully we'll do some more like this again.
Yes, always a pleasure, never a chore.
Mm-hmm. And it's nice to know that you're still using your calendar.
Yep, my calendar is now my best friend. Like, me and her have dates all the time. It's great.
Plus, you haven't duct taped it to the wall. It's like you're staying there and I can keep an eye on you.
Yeah. Honestly, like, I mean, just as a backup, let's do the old-fashioned and actually have a calendar on the wall.